Bibles again this morning to John's Gospel in chapter 8. John's Gospel in chapter 8. We want to bring a very simple message this morning. I want to ask you a question at the outset of this message. I want to ask you, are you free? Are you free? I'm not talking about whether you are voting to be free of the EU or free of some political union or anything like that, but a simple question, are you free? This morning, the Lord Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 8, that he shall make you free. But the question here this morning is, are you free? We live in a world today where Christianity has become something in some circles to be quite hard to understand. Some people in some places don't even understand what it is to be a Christian. People believe that being a Christian is just believing in God or going to church or some things like that. But we know from the Bible here this morning that that's not what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who's had a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who's truly been saved, who's been born again by the Spirit of God. Someone who's called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And as I say, we live in a world today where that's become very hard to understand. Very hard to understand. In fact, there are many people who gather in so-called churches, not like we are today, but in so-called churches, and they go there week on and week out, but they don't know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. And they don't know what it is truly to be a Christian. That's a sad thing, isn't it? That there are men and women who are blinded by Satan, who have the idea that they're a Christian because they believe in God, or because they go to church, or because they've always done that sort of thing. But yet, dear friend, they're not free. They're still in the power of sin, and they're a servant to sin, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the message of the gospel. And you might be here this morning, you say, I know the gospel. I've heard the message of the good old gospel many, many times. I've heard the old story. I don't need to hear it again. I submit to you this morning, we still need to hear the gospel. We need to remember what the message is and what Christ has done for us. And I hope this morning that if nothing else, and you know the Lord, you'll leave knowing, yes, I am free. I'm free from this world of sin, and I thank the Lord I'm free from this world of sin. The Lord Jesus, in this passage in John's Gospel in chapter 8, he is teaching. He is, in the beginning of this passage, met a woman who has committed adultery, and they were going to stone her. If you know the story, they were going to stone this woman. She was caught in the very act, the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus tells her, he says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. That lady, she had her sins forgiven, she met the Saviour, and she went her way knowing that she was free. And then the Lord Jesus talks in this passage not only about that, but he tells us that he is the light of the world, and that whosoever followeth him shall not be in the darkness, and whosoever believeth on him shall be in the light. And we read this all the way through. But there were people in the day of the Lord Jesus called Pharisees and very strict Jews who didn't like what the Lord Jesus was saying. And they didn't like what his message was, and they thought that they were good enough to get to heaven because of all the things they knew themselves. And the Lord Jesus is teaching that he only is the way to heaven, that only through Christ must we be saved. And it tells us in verse 30 that many believed on him as a result of his message to them. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Many people believed on him. And I can say today, without a shadow of a doubt, that as God's message goes forward today, on this Lord's Day, that many will believe on him. Because the Lord Jesus is in the business of saving souls. We may look around us in our world today in England and say, there's not much going on. But let me tell you, there are still men and women, boys and girls, who are still believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I share a story. There was a young boy who came to our holiday Bible club in Brighton. His name's Darren. And this young boy was at our holiday Bible club, and he felt convicted of his need of a Saviour. And he knew he needed to be saved. And he spoke to us about his need, and he asked the Lord to save him. Now, that young boy now has cancer, and he's in hospital in London. But you see, the beauty of it is he's now saved. He knows Jesus. And I wonder this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus? Are you free? And he gives us some truths that we're going to look at in verses 32 and to 36 this morning in John's Gospel in chapter 8. And we're bearing in mind this question, are you free? Are you free? Is what the Lord Jesus saying here to these people, can it be said of you? That you've known the truth and the truth has made you free. And if it is, then you can praise the Lord this morning. You can worship him. He's made me free. You can go out of his house this morning knowing that you're free. Well, we find this truth in verse 32. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth. What's the truth? The truth is that we are sinners, aren't we? We need a saviour. The Bible is clear in God's word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the beginning of Adam and Eve, when Eve sinned and took that fruit from the serpent, from the tree, and Adam took of it too, man has been under a curse. All of us are under that curse, and that curse is sin, isn't it? And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that's what sin does to us. It brings death. And the truth of the gospel is that we are sinners. And we're not, in the sense, actually friends with the Lord, but we're at enmity with God. We're enemies of God this morning. If you're not saved, if you're not free this morning from your sin, you are in fact an enemy of God. And I wouldn't want to be an enemy of the Most High God of heaven. That would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it, this morning, to leave this place still being an enemy of God. But the truth is, that's our condition. But the truth is also that Jesus has come, and he died on the cross, as we know, taking upon our sin upon him. He died for my sin and your sin, and he died on that cross, taking that sin upon him. Not his own sin, but our sin, that he might reconcile, that he might bring us to God, that he might say that we can be free this morning. And when we know the truth, not when we just know the knowledge, but when we know the Lord Jesus, we can have this truth and we can be free indeed. He'll make us free. And it's not just free. It says, I'll make you free indeed. It's a sure thing this morning. Some people believe that one day you can lose your salvation and then the minute you can next gain it again. And you really don't know where you stand. Well, I stand on God's word this morning and I can tell you when God saves a soul, he saves a soul. And you're saved this morning, not because of what you've done, but because of the truth. The truth makes you free and it keeps you free. And it will, dear friend, make you a saved child that's going to be with him in heaven. No doubt about it this morning. God's word is clear on this. So the truth makes us free. But what makes us not free? Why are we not free? Well, we said already at the outset that we are sinners, aren't we? And sin makes us to be in a bondage, in captivity. We're a prisoner to sin. Sin is our master before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here in verse 34, the Lord Jesus is asked a question in verse 33. The Jews were saying, how basically in our words today, how comes we need to be free? We're of the seed of Abraham. Look at our condition, our line. We're one of the best people. How do we need to be made free? And the Lord Jesus gives us the answer. Maybe you'll hear this morning say, well, I'm not in handcuffs. I didn't come here this morning against my will. Maybe you did, I don't know. But I don't come here this morning against my will. I'm not facing a prison sentence. I'm not going to go to prison. I'm not going to be locked up. I'm not on a curfew. I'm not a prisoner or anything. But you know, the very fact of the matter is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're a prisoner of sin. Sin has its way in you, and you're not just someone who does sin, but you're a slave to sin, the Bible says. Sin is your master. You have no choice in the matter. You sin because sin has a way in you. And the Bible says here in verse 34 that Jesus said, verily, verily, in our words, that means truly, truly. So this is a truth. Whosoever committed sin, that's whoever committed sin, is the servant of sin. You see, sin makes you a servant of it. Sin makes you to be its subject. It makes you to be one in its regime. In the war, if you were caught in the war and you were put in a prisoner of war of camp, you didn't have much choice of the matter. They would tell you what to eat, they would give you what to eat, and they would tell you what you would do and all that kind of thing because you're a slave, you're a servant to it. You have no choice. And my friend, that's what sin does to you. It makes you a servant of it. It's your master. But the Lord Jesus doesn't want you to be in that condition any longer. He wants you to leave this chapel here this morning knowing that he has made you free, and free indeed. Question is, have you been made free? Have you made free? Are you free this morning? So sin makes us a prisoner of itself. We find that in Proverbs in chapter 5 and verse 22. Proverbs in chapter 5 and verse 22. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs in chapter 5 and verse 22 these words. And this is a very, very encouraging verse to prove that sin makes us its subject. It says in verse 22, Proverbs chapter 5, his own iniquities, that's a form of sin, shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. You see, sin captures you. Sin makes you to be holden in that position. It's like you're being wrapped and wrapped around its cord. You're locked into that position, and that's what sin does to you. And of course, we don't only see that, but in Romans we see that the wages of sin is death. Sin has a penalty, and being a servant of sin results in death, doesn't it? And we see this all the way through the Bible. And not only do we see it in the Bible telling us it, but we see it in people's lives in the Bible. In the Bible, in the scriptures, it tells us that there are people who were servants to sin. And I want to look this morning at two people who were servants to sin. One person was made right with the Lord, and they left their place knowing that they were free. Another person, sadly, was a servant to sin, just like the other, and they knew they were a servant to sin, and they left not being free, but still being in bondage. And then I want to ask you this morning, as we close this meeting, are you going to leave being a servant of sin or a servant of Jesus Christ? I trust you'll choose the Lord Jesus. You'll put your faith in him. Let's look at our first subject in the Bible, our first person we're going to look at. Genesis in chapter 4. We introduce a man this morning, and his name is Cain. And Cain, as we know, really loved his brother, didn't he? He didn't, of course. He killed his brother. And Cain was a man who was very jealous of his brother. If you know the story, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. And Abel, he was a shepherd. He was a keeper of the sheep. And in the Old Testament times, as you probably know, they had to take a sacrifice to the Lord to be one who could be on their behalf for their sin. And Abel, he bought the sheep, didn't he? That lamb, and he sacrificed it to the Lord. And God had respect unto Abel for his offering. But Cain, he bought his offering, which was basically some crops. And the Bible tells us in later on in the scriptures that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so it had to be a sheep. It had to be something that was costly, a lamb that was without blemish. But Cain wouldn't listen to God. Cain wanted to do his own way, his own thing. And you know, Cain got very, 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 very upset because the Lord didn't like what Cain had. The Bible tells us that Cain was very wroth in Genesis 4 and verse number 5, and his countenance fell. He was angry. He was very angry because the Lord had allowed his brother to have respect because of his offering. But Cain, he wasn't offered any respect because he had really offended God. He said, I'm going to do it my way. And isn't that the heart of man this morning? I want to do my own way to get right with God. But God has a way, and it's the only way. And there's only one name given under heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. And here is Cain, he says, I'm going to do it my way. But that's not really the point we want to look at. Because Cain could have said, okay, I was wrong. I'll go and get a lamb. I'll go and buy one and I'll bring it to the Lord. But he didn't, did he? He got very angry. And the Bible tells us in verse number 7, after the Lord questioned him, the Lord says that sin, halfway through the verse, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You see, he got to the point where he allowed sin to become his master. And it lied at the door of his heart, and it desired to grip him. And the Bible says that sin wanted to be his desire. And we know that he fell prey for sin, didn't he? Because the Bible tells us that in verse number 8, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He allowed sin to have its place in his life. He allowed sin to be his master rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, have you allowed sin to be the master of your life? I'm not suggesting that anyone here this morning is going to go and kill their brother. But sin's the same thing, isn't it, in the sight of God? We're just the same as Cain. We may not desire to be a murderer, but our hearts desire sin. And it knocks at the door. Maybe you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior here this morning, and you know you've been set free from your sins, but sin's still knocking at that door of your life. And it still desires to have some way in your life. Are you going to give in this morning? Or are you going to look up and see the Lord and say, I'm not going to go down that road anymore. I've chosen the narrow way that leads to life. I'm not going down that broad road anymore. There was a preacher that once said, he's a very, very famous man in Northern Ireland, and he once said, everyone thinks I'm very narrow-minded. Everyone thinks that I just tell people that this is the only way, and that's it, and that's all I'm going to stand for. But you know what he said? He said, I'd rather be a man that was narrow-minded and be on the narrow way to heaven than be on the broad road that leads to hell. What about you this morning? Are you one who's on the narrow way because you found the freedom that's in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Cain, sin was at the door of his heart. It was knocking at the door of his heart. He desired to have him. And notice verse number 7, and it says, and thou shalt rule over him. He was really a slave to sin. What sin said he should do, he did. And that's so often what happens with sin. We start one moment just telling some untruth, and then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what sin does. It pulls you in. We read of Lot, you know, Lot in the Genesis. He was with his uncle Abraham. He was going there in the land, and he was to choose where he would go, whether he would go to be one side or the other side, left or right. And you know, Lot looked up to Sodom, didn't he? And he looked up to her and he saw all the pleasures that Sodom had to have. And the Bible tells us that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And that's what sin will do to you. It starts off with something very, 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 very small, perhaps. And it's just like Lot. We pitch our tent closer and closer. But you know what happened to Lot, don't we? Lot not only ended up being in his tent right by Sodom, he ended up being right in the gate of Sodom, right in the house. He went from being someone who was passing through to being a resident of sin. And that's what will happen to us if we allow sin to have its way in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a young person and you know in your heart you're a sinner, but you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Oh, this morning, look up. Don't allow sin to have its way. Don't be like Cain. Cain slew his brother, allowed sin to have the way in his life. And notice verse number 12 of Genesis 4. Not only did Cain allow sin to have a rule in his life, but sin caused him to be a fugitive. The Lord says in verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Sin caused Cain to be an outcast. It caused him to be one who was basically worth nothing. He was a vagabond. Someone who was not desired to be around. And that's what sin will do to you, my friend. It pulls you and pulls you and pulls you and pulls you. And notice verse number 16. This is a sad thing. We don't read anything different about Cain. It tells us in verse 16 of Genesis 4, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That's what sin will finally do to you this morning. It won't just cause you to be a fugitive. It won't just cause you to be one that's pulled by its devices and to go its way and to be a slave to it. But you'll be out from the presence of the Lord. That bar between you and God is very thick, because that's what sin will do. And Cain, it's a sad ending. He went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out from the presence of the Lord. What about you this morning? Oh, God, maybe has spoken to you many times about your need of a Savior, that you need Jesus Christ, that you need to be saved, but you won't listen. you won't yield your heart to the Lord and trust him as your Savior. You'd rather allow sin to have its way, and you'll just be like Cain, and you'll go out from the presence of the Lord. Do you think Cain went out with a smile on his face? Do you think Cain went out with a happy grin? No. Cain was sad, miserable, and that's what sin will do to you. Have you ever seen a happy servant or a happy slave? No, because someone who's under bondage and kept in that position is under the full force of it. And that's what happens to Cain. And my friend, it will happen to you if you don't call upon the name of the Lord for salvation this morning. The Lord Jesus wants you to be free. We could ask Cain this morning if we could, are you free, Cain? Do you have the freedom that the Lord brought you? And he'd say, no. He'd say, I carried the guilt for many years on my back of killing my brother, and I didn't get right with the Lord, and I went on and on, and finally I've gone out from the presence of the Lord. And I'll never have an opportunity, perhaps ever again, to receive Christ as Saviour, because I wouldn't receive him now. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We do not know when we'll have another opportunity. The Lord Jesus is coming back. And we do not know when time will run out. We do not know. But we do know this morning that right now at 11:45, there's an opportunity to be made free, and to be made free indeed. Will you come to the Saviour? We'll look at another man. Equally a man who messed up in his life, just like Cain. This man is not, as far as we know, a real man in that sense in the Bible. He's someone the Lord Jesus told a parable about. And he too had a brother, and his brother was older than him. And we know him, he's the younger son, don't we? And I have a brother and he's older than me. And I hope I'll never be like the younger son with my dad. But I'm thankful I did go home to my heavenly Father and ask him to be my Saviour. And he brought me in. And he saved me. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11, we read that a certain man had two sons. I'm sure all of us are familiar with this passage of scripture this morning. We've seen one man, Cain, who was under the bondage of sin, who was in its slavery and didn't get right with the Lord. This man equally was under its bondage, but he took the opportunity that the Lord gave him and he got right with his heavenly Father. And I hope this morning, if you're like the first man, that you'll leave this place like the second, knowing that you've been made one who was once dead, once in the slavery of sin, but being made alive in the Lord Jesus. Verse number 11, it says, and a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. That's a very offensive thing to say. He really wanted his father to be dead, didn't he? He said, I don't want you, Father. This is a very appropriate thing to read on when the world is celebrating Father's Day. He said, I don't want you, Father. I want my own thing. He wasn't giving a Father's Day card. He said, I'm out of here. I want what you have now. And that's so many like many of us with the Lord, isn't it? We want what we want, and we're not interested in what the Lord has for us. And he says in verse number 12, and he divided unto them his living. He split what he had now, and he left with what he had. And, you know, that's what sin can sometimes do to us. It can appeal to be our friend at first. Of course, this younger son wasn't leaving his house being unhappy. This younger son was full of joy. He had money in the bank. He had a pack full of stuff on his back. He was off to see the world. He was happy. And he was joyful at this thought. I'm on my own. I'm free, he thought. But we know that freedom didn't last very long. And you know, the Bible tells us that the pleasures of sin last only for a season. Sin and its pleasures will, at the beginning, may seem very lovely and very nice and very, very attractive. But just like this younger son found, the truth is they're not. And it makes you to become a slave. And the Bible says that this man, not after many days, younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. The ironic thing is that this man probably would have inherited more if he'd stayed with his father. Because his father would have gained more, wouldn't he, as the time had gone on. And his estate would have been larger, probably, if he waited when his reward was truly to come. But that's the heart of man. I want what I want, and I want it now. And the Bible tells us here, in verse number 13, after many days, he took all his stuff, and he traveled into a far country. And some people say, the world is my oyster. I can go wherever I want, and sin is just not really a thing. I make mistakes, little failures. And that's what sin will appear to you to be as. And the Bible tells us here, he wasted his substance, in verse 13, with righteous living. Oh, he was a happy man, but not for very long. He enjoyed all the pleasures of sin and everything that sin had in his life. And the Bible says, and when he had spent all, he lived life to the max. Maybe that's you this morning. People say to me, they say, and I'm not looking at giving myself a compliment this morning. People say to me, you're too young. You haven't experienced the world enough. I have someone who I work with, who is my boss, and I count him not to just be my boss, but a true friend. And he says to me, Tristan, I think that sometimes you're so narrow-minded, you have your way and that's it, and nothing else is good enough in your way. He said, you've got to experience the world a bit. Go to this place and that place. And you know, that's what the world will say to you this morning. If you're a young person, you must experience it a bit. We'll ask the younger son this morning, was it worth it? Was it worth it? And he'd say, no, because I wasn't free. I was not free indeed. I was in slavery to sin. I was a servant of it. And the Bible says he wasted his life with righteous living. And then in verse 14, sin starts to turn out very nice. And then when everything runs out, it ends to be something where we're in want. The Bible says that he began to be in want. He desired more. And that's what sin will do. Just like Lot and Sodom, he pitched his tent. And then he got closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And that's what will happen to you this morning. Closer and closer and closer. And the Bible says that he joined himself, in verse 15, to a citizen of that country. We all know the story. He became one who would feed the pigs. And for a Jew, that was a terrible thing. For a Jew, that was an offensive thing to happen. And that's what sin will do. It'll bring you to the very least, to the pit, the Bible says. But aren't you thankful this morning the Lord Jesus tells us, not only in the Gospels he'll make us free, but also in the Psalms. It says that he brought me out, Psalm 40, from a fearful pit, and he established my ways. He'll do it for you this morning if you come to him as your Lord and Savior. And he joined himself to the citizen, and he was sent to feed the pigs. In verse 16, he was fain and had filled his belly with the husks. He desired to eat the food of the pigs. That's not a man that's free, is it? That's not a man who was, we read in verse 13, who was going off to see the world. Here he is now, wishing just for a little bit of food from the woes of those pigs. But verse 17 tells us he came to himself. That's what must happen to us this morning. We must come to ourselves and we must see the truth. What's the truth? The truth is that we're sinners. He saw that he was a sinner. He needed a saviour. And he saw the truth. But he didn't just see the truth and didn't do anything about it. Some people think that just by knowing about the gospel is good enough. Dear friend, you can be in this place this morning and you can know all there is to know about the gospels. I know a young child who's at our Sunday school. And you could ask him. And he could tell you the gospel. And he could say all these things. And it's... the Lord knows those that are his, but from my heart, from what I feel, I'm not sure he even knows the Lord. He knows all there is to know, and he can give all the right answers. And that's what so often happens when we're brought up in Christian homes, is that we know all the things to say, but we don't know the Saviour. We're not free. We're not free. And here's this man, and he realises his condition, and the Bible says he came to himself. And he says, think about my father's servants. They have more food than I do. They have more things than I do, and I have nothing. And he says, I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. He says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He wasn't looking for any freedom. He was literally looking that the Lord would take him back, his father would take him back just as a servant. But let me tell you, even though we're like this younger son, the Lord won't just take us back as hired servants, but he'll take us back as sons by adoption. He'll take us back and make us his own. That's what the Lord will do for you this morning, and he'll make you free indeed. Are you free this morning? And this man, it tells us, ran to his father, or his father ran to him, and the father covered him with kisses, and he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. And he never got to the bit where it tells us that he asked him to make him one of his hired servants. The father says, bring the fatted calf. Bring it all the best robe. Put him on him. Put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And notice this, verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The Lord tells us in this parable, this son came back. And he got more than he was seeking. And that's what the Lord will do for you this morning. If you'll return to him, please come to the Lord Jesus this morning. Come to Christ. See that he is good. See that he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to him by God, through him, the Lord Jesus. Come to God by him. This man returned free because he came back to the Lord and he was free indeed. Yes, he was a servant to sin. Yes, he allowed sin to have the way in his life, and he messed up many times. But he didn't allow to be left in that condition. He left knowing that the Father had made him free. And that's why we see in verse 36 of John chapter 8, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Very quickly in closing, we read two people. One was free at the end, and one wasn't free. They were both servants to sin. Which one are you? The Bible tells us the answer to our freedom. It's if the Son, therefore, shall make you free. You see, it's only Jesus. There's only one begotten Son. His name is the Lord Jesus. And if he shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. The Son, the Lord Jesus, can give you the freedom because he gave up his own freedom. You thought about that this morning? The Lord Jesus tells us he gave his life down for his friends. He laid it down. He gave up his own freedom in the sense, I'm not saying the Lord Jesus gave up his deity or anything like that. But he gave up his own freedom in the sense that he didn't have to die. The Bible says he could have called on 10,000 angels and he could have lived. But he gave up that freedom and he died on the cross at Calvary. And on that cross, the Son took upon your sins and mine. God poured out all the things you have ever done, all the things you have ever would do, and everything you're doing now upon him. And they were poured upon his head. And he died for those sins. And he became sin for us, the Bible says. He was without sin, but he became sin for us. And that's the truth of the Bible. If the Son, because Jesus died for you, and he took your place, and he rose again. He didn't stay in death, did he? He rose again. He's conquered it. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It's been swallowed up. Because Jesus died on that cross, and because of that, the Son can make you free. And because it's based upon what he has done, you shall be free indeed. No doubt about it. If it was based upon what a prophet had done, then you may not be free indeed. It would be questionable. If it was based upon what you had done, then it could be questionable. It wouldn't be possible. If it was based upon your good works, it wouldn't work. But my friend, because the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. So the question is, are you free this morning? Do you truly know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And I appreciate this is a gospel message. I felt convicted to bring that this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Are you free? There's a hymn. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. I'm saved. Are you saved this morning? This is a biblical thing. I'm free. If you're a Christian, if you know the Lord, you can leave this place with joy knowing you're free in Christ. Oh yes, we still fall to sin and we still allow sin in our lives, but sin has no dominion over us and has no power. It's broken because Christ has made us free. Are you free? If not, please come to the Lord Jesus this morning. Call upon his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. That's all it is. Just believe on the Lord and you'll be saved. No doubt about it. No process to go through. No waiting list to join up to. Tell this, we live in Worthing. Many years ago when we first moved into Worthing, would have been 1994, and that's when I was born, so not trying to give away my age this morning and show off or anything like that, but when I was born in 1994, we moved into Worthing, my parents put their name down on a waiting list for a beach hut, and they put their name down, and of course the council are wonderful, aren't they? They're so quick and prompt at coming back to you. And we all know that. I'm sure they're just the same in Halland, or even better. And we put our name down on the waiting list, and we waited for ages and ages and ages, and my parents forgot about it. And then suddenly, about 12 years later, all of a sudden, out of the blue, they get in contact and say, "We have this beach hut if you want it." But that's not the way salvation works. Isn't that wonderful? We don't go on a waiting list. And when the Lord gets and sees your application, he decides then. You're number 102 in the queue or something. It doesn't work like that. Jesus saves now. And he'll save you today and he'll make you free. Will you come to him and trust him as your Savior? Please. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've been to this chapel and everyone thinks you're a Christian, but you know in your heart you're not. You know you're outside of Christ. Trust in the Lord today. Trust in the Lord. There's a lady, I'll finish close with this. I will close. There's a lady in our chapel. She's 92 years old. She's lived in all over the place. She has a Catholic background, but she comes every week and hears the gospel at Brighton. And a few weeks ago, she opened up to me and she said, "I'm not sure I can be saved. I'm not sure I'm good enough to be a Christian. I just keep on sinning." She was convicted. And you know, as far as I know, that lady still hasn't called on the name of the Lord Jesus as Saviour. She's in Brighton right now hearing the gospel. Pray for her. Her name's Pat. She needs the Lord. But she won't let the Lord make her free. What about you? He wants to. It says, if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. Take God at his word. He'll do it. Let's pray together this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the truth of thy word. The Bible is clear. If the Son makes us free, we'll be free indeed. And so, Father, I pray that thy word would not return to void to thee this morning. That, Lord, you would come in your power and you would come and bring conviction to men and women. And those who don't know thee would be saved. And those of us who do know thee, oh, Lord Jesus, you would come and bring some comfort to us that we are free indeed. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll turn in our